Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. The announcements this morning are lots. We've got all kinds of things going on. Today is Coins for Missions. This is also Native American Sunday. You've got some information inside of the bulletin about the American Indians Ministries. There's also a blood drive. I think only 5 people are signed up for the blood drive. So if you are interested in donating blood, please don't hesitate to sign up. They asked me to talk about that a little bit. There's also other things printed, which I'm assuming that you all are capable of reading and do not need me to read it to you. There is one very special thing happening, though, and Barb Mills is going to talk to you about that.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Raise your hand if you've heard of the Mary and Martha group at this church. Keep it up. Raise your hand if you've heard of the United Methodist Men of Faith at this church. Raise your hand if you can smell the Faith Community United Methodist Church ham loaf. And if you've heard of the Xenia High School Ensemble, raise your hand. Okay, what do those things have in common? They're all going to be here tomorrow night in the community center. So at 6 p.m., sponsored by the Mary and Martha Group and the United Methodist Men of Faith, we are having an open potluck dinner. It kind of reminds me of the days of Wednesday night community meal when the community center was packed. And the Xenia High School Ensemble has volunteered to come and entertain us. So how fun is that going to be? Faith, fellowship, fun, food, all of us together. So everyone is welcome. This is not limited to just the women as we normally are. If you are a Mary and Martha supporter, we would love you to continue your part of the potluck and bring a side or a dessert to share. But we do. We have 150 ham loaves ready to roll, so it's going to smell delicious. And we hope to see you there. It'll be a really fun evening. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I have one other thing that I need to talk about, and that is the proactively planning for your future event that is coming up Saturday of the 20th. Stefan is going to be our speaker, and that has always been a very interesting time to learn about how you can plan for your future. And I think that's the end of the announcements.
Thank you.
morning. There was one other announcement that I forgot. This is the last Sunday for Rhonda and Wayne Cook to be in attendance here at Faith Community. They have done so many wonderful things over the past years, and I would just like to recognize them and wish them Godspeed, and you are welcome to come back any time that you would like. Can we just acknowledge their wonderful service to this church? Thank you. Okay, now, if you are able, could you stand and join us for the call to worship? Turn to Christ. Christ calls us here. Place your trust in God. The Lord our God protects our lives. Lean into the Spirit. We worship the Spirit in truth. Our opening hymn this morning is Christ is Alive. It's number 318, and we'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 5. Thank you. You may be seated. And if you would join me with me in the opening prayer as printed in your bulletin, let us pray. God of miracles and truth, bless us as we gather for worship. With the power of your Holy Spirit, reveal your presence in our midst and open our hearts and minds to receive your miraculous healing love. Strength of faith this day, that we may go forth as agents of your healing touch. Amen. Thank you. Can the children please come forward for children's moments? Hi, guys. Did you all see the eclipse? Wow, wasn't it amazing? And what did you need to see the eclipse? What? Glasses, yeah, special glasses. Did you all have your special glasses? And what else did you need to see the eclipse? Eyes. Oh, you got it right. That's right. We needed eyes to be able to see the eclipse, eyes that can see. Now, we're lucky because we have eyes that can see. This morning, we're going to read about a man that was blind, and his eyes could not see. But Jesus opened his eyes and healed his eyes so that he could see. So we are thankful to Jesus for all of the things that we can see. Have you noticed the daffodils? Have you noticed the trees that are in bloom? Aren't they beautiful? I mean, there's just so much to see in the spring. The grass is green, really green. So, and tall, yes, and it's time to cut the grass, isn't it? Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, now another thing we're going to do this morning is we're going to ask you guys to take a bucket and do the coins for missions thing. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, Jim, for playing. That's nice. Everybody comes and we'll put them all up together. Oh, she's got some. Perfect. Thank you. Now, you guys, let's all go up to the altar and put them on the altar. Because we want to be grateful to the Lord for all of these coins to help the missions. And you are such good helpers. You get to have a little treat. There's a choice in there. Thank you. Now, our prayer hymn this morning is Be Thou My Vision, which is number 451.
Won't you join me as we come together and bow our hearts and our minds and our heads before God in a time of prayer? Oh, good and gracious God, we give you glory and give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for this day, It is a day we have never seen before, and a day we will never see again. And so we give you thanks. Lord, we thank you for gathering us today in this time of corporate worship where we can come together and lift our many voices forward to you as one. But Lord, you know that we come in here carrying separate burdens and worries and griefs. We come into this space, Lord, sometimes filled with anxiety or frustration or sorrow. And so, Lord, let us each take our own moment to just lift up our hearts before you. Give us the space, Lord, to get honest with you. So hear our prayers this morning. Lord, the scriptures remind us over and over again that when we cry out to you, when we lift up our voices in prayer, you hear our prayers. And so, Lord, thank you for that assurance today. And that when we feel unsettled, it is our job to get our eyes up to you because it is where our help comes from. And so, Lord, thank you for being our constant, our rock, our comforter, our healer, our great physician, our stronghold. So, Lord, we give you glory and praise today, Lord, because we are yours. We are loved. Your hand is upon us. And so, Lord, as we continue in worship, may we lean into you and to pray as one, the prayer that you taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We now come to a time when we are going to have our offerings.
giving grace. Bless us as we bear witness to your love and grace in all that we say, all that we give, and all that we do. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. The blind man is healed. Jesus and his disciples came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch and heal him. Taking the blind man's hand, Jesus led him out of the village. After spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on the man, he asked, "Do you see anything?" The man looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees, only they are walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. He looked with his eyes wide open, and his sight was restored, and he could see everything clearly. Then Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. I am clearly a guest here because I missed a step there and forgot the offering there, and you know how it goes. But I am Jen Lucas, your district superintendent. The Great Miami River District is combined of seven counties. It is 130 churches. It is the largest district in West Ohio Conference, and so I have the good fortune of being able to serve all this area up here near and around the Dayton area, but then also near and around the Cincinnati area. I do live in the Cincinnati area. I live in Loveland. I am married, have three children, a college student, a junior in high school, and then a sixth grader. So lots of busy things in my life, but it is a joy and an honor to serve as your district superintendent. I've been in the ministry since 1997 as a student pastor, but have been part of the church, raised in the church, and so the local church really has my heart. The local church is where life change happens. It's where transformation happens. It's where we come together in rows in worship, but then we get together in circles and we're able to pray together and hold one another up and support one another and experience Christ for the first time or the last time together in circles. And so I do miss being in the local church, because this role I'm not in one specific church. But I thank you for your witness and your commitment to serving this community, this church, this community that God has called you to be a part of. And so thank you for being a witness. Won't you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you. Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this story of the blind man, my prayer today is that we receive this story as something more than just a story of a blind man. Because as I was preparing for you, that is exactly, okay, it's a story of healing, of God touching the man's eyes, and then he could see again. And that's the surface. That's what I'm going to talk about. But as I continued to read the text over and over and over again, because it is the living, breathing word of God, God continued to kind of show me some new things that took it from just a story of healing of a blind man to something a little deeper. And so my hope today is that as these words that God has placed in my heart, that they will touch your heart and that we will walk out of this place with a little deeper understanding of what God has to say to us today. And so as the text was beautifully read a moment ago, let me remind you of the first part of this text. It says they came, they being Jesus and the disciples, they came to Bethsaida. And some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Now I stop right there, because already I am seeing some unusual things in this text. The people are saying, this guy is blind, and so Jesus, we need you to touch him and heal him. And we know that Jesus could right then and there just quickly touch the man, he could be healed. We know that Jesus has that power, right? But instead of Jesus just stepping in and quickly healing the man, I think Jesus says something a little unusual. Jesus takes the man by the hand and he begins to walk him away from the very people that brought him. Jesus takes him outside the village. Now this might not sound like that big of a deal. Okay, Jesus took him by the hand and led him away. He was going to do his healing over here. Why is that such a big deal? Well, we can see. So I was thinking about that, because that seems like a big deal to me. Have you ever experienced or know what I mean when I say a trust walk? I used to do this with youth when I was a youth pastor. We would blindfold a student or a group of people, blindfold them, and then they would have a partner that would have to lead them through maybe an obstacle course, right? And they just had to trust the person that was leading them. Or another way of doing that, you blindfold a person and then you on the other side would give them commands trying to get them to come to you. Now, even if the person that I trust the most in this world, even if I put a blindfold on and that person was on the other side of the room and I knew there was nothing in between, and that person said, Jen, run to me, with a blindfold, I still would not sprint. Right? You wouldn't. You would carefully, you might maybe take a fast pace because you know there's nothing there, but you're not sprinting at full force when you got this blindfold on. Even though you trust the person. These some people that clearly were in this man, this blind man's orbit, he was getting through his day with these people. The some people brought him to Jesus, and Jesus takes him away from those people outside the village, outside of his comfort zone, outside of the familiar, if you will. Some people. The other thing that I think is interesting is that he takes this stranger but puts his hand out and asks him to grab hold. How many times does somebody reach their hand out and we're asked to grab a hold? Jesus is saying, I need you to trust me. I'm taking you outside the village. And so this community, this village, they were his vision. They were shouting that he needs healed, and Jesus takes him outside. We have to again continue. I continued to ask again, why? Why? Why did Jesus do this? Why not just heal him right then and there? I go back to the some people. And I also go back to where they were, Bethsaida. I'll start with the some people. Some people, have you ever had to hear the sentence? I'm just going to speak from a preacher standpoint. You'll stand at the end of the aisle after a Sunday morning and the congregation will come through and shake your hand. But then there's maybe somebody that'll come up and they'll grab you and they'll say, hey, preacher, I've been hearing some rumblings. Some people are a little upset with you, right? And you're, okay, some people are, yeah, well, who are those people? Just some people are upset with you. Well, can you give me any more? Usually it's that person, but no, some people. So Jesus takes him away from these some people. Because what we also know about where these some people are from is Bethsaida. And when we look at the scriptures, just a little bit before, there's some warning texts about Bethsaida. Whoa, Bethsaida. Because see, Bethsaida was a place that was known for just wanting fun or easy. They were more surface kind of people. Half-baked beliefs. They were not in search for true transformation. I mean, even if they would have seen the miracle, hey, Jesus, we just need you to touch this man and quickly heal him because, well, you know, he's got this ailment and we just need you to quickly take care of that. Jesus knew that if I would have healed him right then and there, they wouldn't have changed anything of their ways. It wouldn't have affected them in any way. It would have remained surface. Jesus needed to take him away from the sum. Take him away from this space where we just like to keep things up here. Jesus is saying, no, I want some more transformation. I want it to go deeper. Do we sometimes just want quick and easy healing? I just want you to take care of this quickly. Just, I'm going to toss up this simple prayer. If you could just answer this small thing just really quickly, Lord. We just want that surface. Jesus was saying, no, I want something more for you. I want this to not just heal your sight. I want this to heal your soul. I want that for you. How about you? Where are you at with this? And so Jesus taking him out of the village, Jesus is saying, before I help you see, I'm taking you away from these half-baked beliefs, from this negative narrative, if you will, and I want to take you deeper than the surface. I think Jesus saw the village, the occasional Christian, the feel-good people. I'm going to remove you because, again, I have something more. Some of us are asking God to help us see, but we refuse to give up some of the other things. We refuse to pause and pray. I'm a part of a small group. They meet in my home. We've been meeting for years on Monday nights. It's an eclectic group of people. Many of them are my husband's friends he's brought along the way, but we've been together for a long time. And one of the things that we talk about the most is, man, I'm praying, but I don't think God is answering any of my prayers. God isn't hearing any of my prayers. When was the last time we really paused and prayed and went away from the noise and spent some serious time holding on to Jesus' hand? When was the last time we removed ourselves from the village to go over and to have this one-on-one relationship holding on to Jesus' hand and just allowing ourselves to be still with the one that we're trusting? And in our group, sometimes we're like, well, you know, I don't have time for that. Well, we got time to scroll Netflix and watch all these shows. We got time for the gossip groups. We got time for all this other stuff, but we don't have time for transformation. Jesus takes him away so that they're just the two of them. Jesus is saying, I want a breakthrough for you. Are we willing today to take Jesus' hand outside the village and spending that alone time, that one-on-one time? Jesus says, you want a miracle. It can't be on your terms. I'm just not going to simply just do this and because that's what you asked for. No, there's a process. There's a process. And so he let him out of the village, kind of asking him, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Verse 23, it says, he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? Now, again, I find this a little odd. Jesus gets this man to leave his familiar, walk outside the village, and he's holding on his hand. He's now trusting Jesus. Amen. But then Jesus spits on him. Let that sit there for a moment, right? He spits on him. I don't even know what to do with that. Other than to say, we got to trust the process. Jesus is going to heal us Jesus' way, not ours. Trust the process. It doesn't always make sense. But Jesus is asking us to trust. So he spits on the man and then he asks him the question, do you see anything? And this is where it gets real for me. Because I think this question is interesting. Because we think, obviously we think that Jesus is healing his sight, and so he wants to just know, okay, can you see? But the response back and forth tells me there's more here. Do you see anything? I can kind of correlate that question to the question that we ask every single day when we run into somebody, how you doing? And we'll respond with, fine. I'm fine. Even though I'm fine, well, I'm actually really angry because I just got cut off on my way here and I was screaming at the car in front of me, but I'm fine. I'm fine, but I just left the house after getting into a huge argument with my spouse, but I'm fine. I'm fine, but I just received some pretty bad news from my doctor, but I'm fine. We give this surface answer, I'm fine. Jesus is asking for more. And we know this because, do you see anything? And the guy responds by saying, well, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Okay, cool. I see things. I mean, he could have said, yeah, I see. I'm good. I'm done. But he got honest. He says, well, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. Which means he was saying his vision was still blurry. He wasn't seeing clearly. Jesus is saying, I don't want you to just to tell me, yeah, I can see or not see. I want to know. What's going on with you? Do you see anything? How are you doing? Where are you in life? What is your struggle? I've taken you away from these some people and I've led you outside of the village and I'm asking you a question. How are you? How is it with your soul? What's your struggle? Do you see anything? And this man was honest. I kind of see. I'm kind of there. It's still blurry. There's still a struggle. It's not there right yet. Do you see anything? Jesus is asking for honesty. And when we're alone with Jesus, it's important that we share our heart. So Jesus says, do you see anything? And then we get to verse 25. Because he says, I just see the people. It's still blurry. So it says, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. This is that grace part. This is that grace. Once more, Jesus didn't leave him there in the struggle. Jesus didn't leave him there in the blurriness. Jesus didn't leave him there when he still wasn't able to make out everything that was in front of him. Jesus didn't leave him there. No, it was grace upon grace upon grace. Once more, Jesus touched his eyes. Jesus comes to us time and time again, over and over and over again. How are you doing? Where are you in life? What are you struggling with? Well, I'm struggling with anxiety, or I'm struggling with my fears, or I'm struggling with my inability to forgive. I'm struggling with this hatred that I'm holding in my heart. I'm struggling with fears. And I'm in these groups, and they keep telling me that I should just keep going, or they keep telling me that I'm fine. But that's not what I'm telling myself. And so Jesus is saying, I need you to get away from that negative talk, and I need you to come over here, and I need you to just rest with me. I need you to share your heart, because I really want to know, how are you? Where are you? What's your struggle? And we'll talk about it over and over again. And when you reveal things to me, things that you have done or things that you're not able to do or the struggles that you have, there is grace in that. I'm going to listen to you. Because I want you to be healed, not just here at your sight, but in your soul. In your soul. As I said, I have three kids. And my youngest, so I have two boys, and then my youngest is my daughter. And recently, she has an app on her tablet that allows her to text her friends. It's a text app. And so she's got these groups that she's a part of, and she's able to text them. And all of a sudden, in and throughout our home, I started hearing my daughter kind of using language about herself in the negative tone. You know, she would drop something and she'd be like, ugh. You know, I'm an awful person. I'm the worst person. I always make these kinds of mistakes. I mean, like something simple, like you just drop something. It's no big deal. But she would like just tear herself apart. And I wasn't the only one noticing it. My husband was, and my son was noticing it as well. Well, part of the in our home, the rule when you have these tablets is at the end of the night, you got to plug them in, and they know that I'm going to text, or I'm going to check their social media and the things that they're watching. And so there's always that moment in the night where I will check her text. And so I was on her tablet and I noticed a group text that she was a part of, and it was titled Best Friend Group. Okay. And so I opened it up, and if you've ever had to read 12-year-old text messages, there's a lot of emojis and faces and exclamation points, and it's really, there's no complete sentences. It's really kind of hard to kind of walk yourself through it. But eventually I'm kind of noticing a narrative. Whereas one person was saying something negative about my daughter, saying you're so stupid, or you're the this, or you're not pretty, or you're this, or whatever. And it would be followed by a laughing emoji, like, I'm just kidding. And my daughter would follow it up with a laughing emoji. But what I started to notice is all the comments that we were hearing around the home was what was being said to her through these texts. Well, guess what? Mama got a little upset about all that. And so Mama had to kind of go in, and we had to, you need to take my hand, and we're going to walk away from this village, and we're going to come over here, and I want to reacquaint you with the one who has created you in the image of God and believes that you are pretty unique and special, and you are valuable, and you have worth, and this negative talk is not how God would talk about you. And I need you to see that, and I need you not to believe that, and I need a different narrative to be told in and through you. You need to not, I'm not telling you not to be friends. I'm not telling you not to be kind, but I don't want you a part of this group that's tearing you apart. Do you see what's happening here? Now, the quick healing would have been, the tablet is away and you can never touch it again and you can't have any of that access again. That surface. But I needed it to go a little deeper. I needed to take her away from the negative narrative to help her to have true healing. But because she's 12, grace upon grace upon grace, because we're always going to try to go back to the village. We're always going to try to go back to the best friend group. We're always going to go back to what we think the world is saying about us. Jesus is saying, I want you to leave this village. I want you to get honest with me, because I have something more for you, right? And at the end of this text, Jesus, he sees everything clearly, and then Jesus sent him home, and he said, don't go into the village. He didn't say, never go back to the place where you were raised and to all the things that you do. He just said, don't go back to those people, some people. Find a new route. Find a new way. Don't go back to the negative narrative that we're telling in our heads. Don't go back to the group of people that we just gossip with. But when we share our heart, they just kind of keep it surface, and we know that they're telling it to everybody else instead of really listening to us. Jesus says, don't go back to that. Go back around, because I want healing for you. I want healing for you. That's my prayer for all of us this morning. That though maybe nothing will change, everything changes in here, because we're willing to grab hold of Jesus' hand. Leave whatever that village is for us. Go outside of that village and get really honest with God when he says, what's going on? What are you struggling with? What do you see in your life? And then Jesus sends us back healed, but says, go another way. Go another way. Tomorrow when you wake up and open your eyes to a new day, I pray that we see joy in the morning. Weeping may last through the night, but his joy comes with the morning. And that joy comes when we're willing to trust the one constant in our lives, the one that wants total transformation and healing for each one of us, the one that will never abandon us even when we are tearing ourselves up. He says, I don't want that for you. I want more for you. So may you have a new vision today for yourself. May you take a moment to spend that time, just you and Jesus. You get honest with him and allow him to touch you in a way that maybe you've never been touched before. Won't you pray with me? As we bow our heads, Lord, each one of us, Lord, in this space, we need healing from something. Lord, every one of us need to surrender something in our lives that's keeping us from fully embracing you or trusting you fully. So, Lord, I just pray that today be a new day for all of us, where we see the extension of your hand and you're looking right at us. And may all of us be willing to grab a hold of your hand and be led outside to something more. And Lord, it might mean that we have to admit some things. We might have to own up to some things, some ways that we have been wrong. We might have to shift some things in our day-to-day where we take some time to spend with you instead of watching things on media. But Lord, may we, each of us, find that true healing that only comes from you. May each of us become whole today. I pray right now that the Holy Spirit might touch every life that is here. That we might know you, feel you, and be prompted by you. So we pray all of this in your precious name. Amen. Won't you stand for our closing hymn, found on page 306. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3. We have entered into the space to worship God, and now he sends us out into the mission field. We are his disciples to go out and to make disciples. Today, I pray that all of us will be led by Jesus out into this world, trusting him fully, and we might find true healing because of his presence in your life. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Go in peace and amen.